All right, how we doing? I'm doing all right. Hanging in there? Yeah, well, I was just talking to the priests backstage there, and I said, "Yeah, man, I'm feeling tired. It's been a long day, right?" And he's like, "Yeah, if you preach long, we'll just take naps during your homily." So this is a good time to take a nap if you're really gonna take, because the main event is to come in a few minutes, but this is kind of like the warm up for that, right? Yeah, my homilies have been known to cure insomnia. I'm just supposed to just throw that out there. Have you ever noticed that two people can experience the exact same situation and see it completely differently? Right? One person sees opportunity, another person sees disaster. One person sees possibility, another person sees a problem. Nothing about the situation has changed, but the difference between those two is perspective. The strange thing about our problems, and we all have problems, right? We're all struggling with different things. There's all these things going on in our lives that are difficult. The problem with these problems is that when they become big enough, they tend to dominate our field of vision. And then we become blind. Maybe your problem is with school or something going on at school, maybe a bully or something, or maybe it's mental health, anxiety, depression, something happening in your family, or maybe it's just a mistake that you made that you just can't undo. And when the problem gets big enough, it's hard to see anything else. Problems so big, we can't see past them. And in the gospel, we heard a few minutes ago, that was literally true for the man in the gospel. He was blinded. He was blinded by his problem. Sometimes we are too. Blindness is our problem in many ways. Now, just in case you didn't catch it, we read sort of the condensed version of that gospel passage. There's a lot more going on, and it happened so fast. So I'm just going to let's walk through it a little bit. So Jesus, he's walking along with his squad, right? His homies, his bros. I don't know. I don't know any brain rot language, okay? So he's walking along with the disciples. And there's a guy who's sitting there by the side of the road and he's blind. And his disciples, they look at this guy who's begging for money just for basic sustenance, and they ask him a natural question that I think many of us has asked in our lives. Who sinned that this man was born blind, him or his parents? Like maybe you've heard that before, or you've thought that before, or you've asked that very question. Like somebody's got something going on in their life, and you wonder, did they do something to deserve it? Or maybe you, in fact, thought that about yourself one time. Like your depression is your fault. Or your anxiety is because God is punishing you. Or the illness that's going on in your own life or a family's life is punishment for something you've done, punishment for bad behavior. And it's a natural question to ask, like, God, why me? Why this? Why now? And it's almost always about a problem we don't have the power to fix ourselves. But Jesus, his answer to his disciples is very illuminating. Right? He says this: "Neither this man nor his parents sinned. He was born blind so that God's works might be revealed in him." Same problem, different perspective. Right? There's a divine perspective that none of the disciples could see. Now, the point is, God doesn't allow anything in our lives. Nothing bad can happen unless he can bring a greater good out of it. And that's precisely what he's saying to the disciples. Now, that doesn't just mean he's going to remove the problem necessarily or take it away, but he will always work it for good. And so what does Jesus do next? So the guy is sitting blind. They ask him this question. He says he's blind so that God can demonstrate his power. And the next thing Jesus does is weird. I don't know if you picked up on this, if you caught it. It was right at the beginning of the gospel. Do you know what he does? Okay, I'm going to need a volunteer for this next part. Anyone? He spits on the ground. Then he takes that saliva and he kneads it into like this booger mud pie. Right? There's probably this loogie in there, just sticky. I don't know. I'm just making that up. That's how I picture it anyway. And he takes that and he rubs it in the guy's face. Right on his eyes. He must have been like, what's going on right now? What is this? And it's a really weird thing for Jesus to do, isn't it? Jesus, why would you do something weird like that? Sometimes Jesus does weird things in our lives, and we actually don't always have an answer for how he does it or why he does it. But we might ask the question, why? And I think maybe I'll give two or three reasons. The first is, one thing, he's testing the Pharisees that are there, right? He's always testing the Pharisees who have this hard heart. They don't have an open heart. They don't have a loving heart. He's always testing them. And so they're watching him on the Sabbath day, which is a day of rest, and they have a law that you cannot do any work. And Jesus is there rubbing the mud into the ground and by extension doing some kind of work for which they accuse him. This man broke the law. So one, he's testing hard hearts. The second thing is it's also reminiscent of in the beginning when God created Adam and Eve before the fall, he formed them from the mud of the ground. And in some way, I think this is reminding us that God is accomplishing in Jesus a new creation. And then three, I also think it speaks to the fact that Jesus is willing to enter into the nitty-gritty, nasty, gross parts of our lives. He's not distant and far away, but he draws close, and he's earthy, and he's real in order to bring healing into our lives, which is what he does on the cross, of course. And then Jesus, he sends a blind man to go wash off in the pool. And you're like, yeah, I'm going to wash off. He better believe it. And then what happens? As he's washing off the mud, suddenly his eyes open. For the first time, this man born blind can see. And this is what Jesus does. He opens the eyes of the heart through faith, that we can see reality in a new light. And this is what God's gift through faith and baptism. It's the miracle is the sign that points beyond it to the one who works the miracle. And it's like Jesus is saying, I want you to see me. Now, Jesus isn't there, right? Because the guy washes off and he goes, and then they send him to the Pharisees, and the Pharisees are like the guys who are in charge. So they're checking, you know, play the role of doctor or whatever and all this stuff. And they're kind of questioning him like, hey, what happened? Who are you? How is it that you were blind, but now you see? This doesn't make sense. It doesn't add up. And he says is this, I don't know. All I know is that I was blind, but now I see. That's a one-sentence testimony. And in fact, that is what God does in all of our lives and is capable of doing in every single life, in every situation, in every single heart, to open the eyes of the blind that they might have sight. And so Jesus comes back to this guy, and you can imagine, just picture yourself in the scene. Jesus comes back. This man has not seen Jesus. Because he was blind, and then he went to wash, and Jesus didn't follow him. And Jesus asked him this question, do you believe in the Son of Man? And the blind man who now sees said, "And who is he, sir? Tell me so that I might believe in him." And Jesus said, "You have seen him. The one speaking with you is he." Imagine living in darkness your whole life. You don't know what colors look like. You don't know what the sky looks like, what rainbows look like. You don't know what raindrops look like when they touch your skin. And this man is suddenly looking upon the face of the man who opened his eyes to see reality for the first time. And that's what faith does. It opens our eyes to see reality for the first time. Some of you today maybe encountered the love of God for the first time in your life. And like what my experience, it was like I could taste and see in a way that I didn't even know was possible. It's like music sounded better and the sun shone brighter and the birds sang better songs. Like it was all of reality was different. It changed everything about what it was to be alive. And the Lord is doing that today in the lives of people here. But it can't end here. You have to take this outside of today. And there's all kinds of ways that you need to continue to live in that new reality of with Jesus, who is the one who opens the eyes of the blind. There's a few things you can do, and I'm just going to give you a couple practicals real quick. You can't just come here every weekend, right? But there's a couple things you can do. You need to develop a prayer life. You need to spend time in prayer every single day to connect with the one who has the power to open our eyes every single day. And it doesn't have to be long. If you don't know how to pray, just start, because just trying to pray is already the work of prayer. And so just take like a minute or two every day. If you've never had a habit of prayer every day, do that every single day. The other thing you want to do is you want to connect with other people who want the same things, who see the world the way you see it. Visit your youth group, go to confession regularly, go to mass every Sunday. These are just the basic things to keep the fire burning and alive. Get involved in ministry at your church. So Jesus opens the eyes of the blind and gives us a new perspective. And he's going to do that in a few moments here on the altar. Bread and water transformed to the body and blood of Jesus, the living God made present for us. And when he is lifted up, you too can say with the blind man, "Lord, I believe. I believe that you are the Son of God. I believe you open the eyes of the blind." Because all of us once were blind. But because of Jesus Christ, the light of the world, now we see.